35. A little under 2 days later, they drove past the snow-dusted sign welcoming them into Sanders. Eleanor roared down the road toward the center of town. Eli took in a breath to warn Harry about Zeke's standard speed trap. Then he realized the trap probably hadn't been set that afternoon. Or had it? He couldn't be sure when the faceless men had recruited Zeke. Maybe they hadn't yet.
"I brought us back a few weeks after our last encounter," Harry said. Her words came out in a cloud of steam.
"A few?" She shrugged.
"Six or seven. I didn't think we needed to be exact."
Eli flipped up the lapels of his tweed blazer. A Goodwill store in 1970s Des Moines had provided the coat and the faded blue sweatshirt under it. Not perfect for a New England winter, but all they'd been able to afford.
"Maybe slow down a bit," he suggested.
"I'm fine.
Just to be safe."
She rolled her eyes at him, but the Model A slowed down.
"Satisfied?"
"You realize drivers like you were the reason my mom never wanted me walking in the street when I was a little kid?"
"If only she'd known that one day you'd be tempted away by such a reckless driver."
"Let's hold off telling her for now."
They rolled down a snowbank-lined main street, past the Silver Arrow restaurant and Jackson's. He glanced in the small bookstore's window. Two of the three wire racks had vanished over the years, but as they drove by, he glimpsed the survivor past the soap-drawn snowflakes on the glass. Harry looked at him.
"Where am I going?"
"I'm not sure," said Eli.
He looked through the windshield and saw the pizza pub coming up on their left. They had their gaudy silver Christmas tree in the window.
"I guess it has to be somewhere people wouldn't notice it."
"Possibly,"
she said.
"I suppose it depends on who took it. Perhaps someone has it in plain sight, out in their living room."
Eli bit off a laugh.
"I hadn't really thought about that," he said.
"Do you think someone from Sanders stole the dream? Or did they just hide it here?"
"I have no idea,"
she said.
"I always tended to wonder more about the why and the how, myself."
She gestured toward the road ahead.
"Which way?"
"Keep following the road, I guess. Bear to the left."
She guided Eleanor around the bend and onto Cross Street. On the dashboard, the red-orange light by the gas gauge flickered twice.
"We'll need to fill up soon,"
she said, patting the console next to the steering wheel.
"I think there's still 2 or 3 gallons in the reserve."
She nodded and studied the houses along the street. On their right stood the old Protestant church. A snowbank blocked the parking lot where he'd talked to Harry all those years ago. He swung his head, glanced past the Catholic church, and caught a glimpse of the baseball field. Brown tufts of dead grass stretched up through the snow around the wooden bleachers and across the outfield. In the distance, beyond the field, he could see the back of... "Oh, Christ," he said.
"What?"
"Turn left up here," he said as they passed the two churches.
"Won't that circle us back around into town?"
"Yeah." The road curved around past another line of dirt-streaked snowbanks and revealed the sprawling structure that, without knowing it, he'd brought them to see. The Founder's House.
"Pull over there," he said, gesturing at the lot across the street.
Eleanor slid between twin mounds of snow into the parking lot. Harry steered the car around until they faced the building dead on. Eli stared at it through the windshield. She followed his eyeline as the engine stopped.
"I remember that place,"
she said.
"It's been closed for years, yes?"
"Yeah. I'm not even sure when it was open."
He let his eyes run over the rambling structure. Clapboard walls painted that blue-gray colonial white. Dozens of big windows framed by dark shutters. At least 3 brick chimneys he could see from where Eleanor was parked. A wide wooden staircase led up the hill, past 2 landings to the main entrance.
"I've lived here my whole life," he said, "and never really looked at this place, you know?"
"I suppose."
"I know a bunch of kids growing up who used to throw rocks at the windows. My mom told me once they did it when she was a kid, too."
Harry let her own gaze drift across the building.
"What are you looking for?"
"Broken windows."
Her head turned side to side.
"I don't see any."
"Neither do I."
"Is it significant somehow?"
"Maybe. Like I said, I've lived here my whole life, probably gone past this place 2 or 3 times a week, every week." And you know what? She raised a questioning eyebrow. I've never seen anyone working here, not fixing windows, not painting it, not mowing the lawn or raking leaves or shoveling the steps. He cast his gaze back and forth over the building again. I think I never really looked at this place. None of us ever looked, because it never attracted attention. It went out of its way not to attract attention. Harry took in a slow breath.
And do you think the dream's in there?
Yeah. She drummed her fingers on the steering wheel. He shrugged. I'm open to a better idea.
No, she said. No, I think you're right.
Eli and Harry slipped out of the car and walked to the edge of the parking lot. They took a few clumsy steps over the snowbank and set their feet down on the road. Eli glanced both ways, suddenly aware he had no idea what day of the week it was in Sanders. He hadn't noticed many cars in either church parking lot, so not Sunday. He looked over at the back of the Silver Arrow and saw a few cars and two pickups. A usual weekday lunch crowd for the restaurant, even in the winter. They reached the base of the broad wooden staircase that stretched up to the founder's house. 66 steps, split by two large landings. A childhood memory flashed in his mind, racing up and down the staircase with his friends. They stood at the base of the stairs and looked up at the mass of clapboards and windows and old shutters. Harry crossed her arms and took three deep breaths, pushing each one out between her lips as a cloud of steam. Are you okay?
I'm a little overwhelmed, she said. This is it. We've done it. The dream's in there. I can almost feel it.
Eli took in a breath of his own. The cold air prickled at his skin. Or maybe it wasn't the air. He looked at the broad wooden staircase leading up to the founder's house.
I know what you mean, he said. It's kind of bizarre. All those years I was looking for you, and the thing you were looking for was sitting here the whole time, right under my nose.
She glanced at him. He stared up at the building, lost in thought.
Eli?
Sorry. It's just...
He blinked and looked at her.
I just had a bit of deja vu.
Didn't Truss say something like that, being right under their noses?
I believe so, she said. But he was talking about hiding from the faceless men.
Right. The conversation floated up to the top of Eli's memories. He said he was so well hidden, he'd set up a business right under their nose.
And then they shot him dead.
Eli nodded slowly and looked at the staircase again. He remembered being a kid, riding bikes past those steps with Josh and Corey, making little kid bets, daring each other to run up to the stairs, but none of them ever made it to the second big landing. None of them got that close to the founder's house, not even Zeke or his idiot friends. Nobody. He remembered something sprawled in the dust. The bad house in a 1960s desert town. Cobwebs draping back and forth across it like threads. Stretching back and forth like strings. Oh no, he murmured.
What?
Eli took her arm and stepped back into the street.
We have to go, he said. I think I've made a mistake, a really, really bad mistake.
What?
He took another step back, pulling her with him, his gaze still focused on the founder's house. Nothing stirred in the building. The windows stayed shut. The drapes hung still. It loomed silently over them.
Eli, what is it? Is this the wrong place?
This is very much the wrong place, he said. We need to get back to Eleanor.
Why?
Right under their noses, he said. John told me about false positives when you search, finding people who were influenced by the dream before it vanished rather than after.
The sounds of traffic grew in the distance.
All the strange time effects in Sanders, Eli said. They're a false positive. This isn't where the dream is, it's where the dream was.
They reached the far sidewalk, and Harry shook her head as they reached the snowbank.
No, she said. It can't be. Before it vanished, it was still being guarded by the...
She took in a sharp breath. Her wide eyes stared up at the house the founders had built.
Piss bucket,
she hissed. They were in the parking lot now, less than 100 feet from Eleanor, backing away from the sprawling old structure. The sound of engines filled the air, a distant growl. Eli looked back up at the founder's house, pictured the town in his head, tried to imagine the path the sound would take between all the buildings. "Run," he said. They reached Eleanor just as the Hudson Hornet blasted around the corner of the Silver Arrow, shoving air out of its way and creating a wall of pressure that rattled the restaurant's windows. It rushed up Front Street and skidded to a stop across the entrance to the parking lot, spraying a wave of slush into the air. Then another Hornet came around the corner, and another. Eli glanced back as he ran around Eleanor's engine. A fourth slick black shape roared down the hill. Its engine screamed as the driver downshifted. He threw himself onto the bench as Harry landed behind the wheel. Eleanor's engine revved. The Model A's tires squealed on the pavement as the car shot forward. Harry slalomed through the snowy grove of parking meter posts. Behind them, engines growled. Eli heard the synchronized thunk of four cars shifting gears. Tires shrieked on the pavement as they spun up to full speed. The swarm of hornets launched themselves after Eleanor.